Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY22 earnings conference call of Tata Chemicals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Tata Chemicals Q2 FY22 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. R. Mukundan, the Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Zarir Langrana, Executive Director, and Mr. Nandakumar Tirumalai, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. I now invite Mr. Mukundan to begin proceedings of the call.
Thanks, Gavin. Good morning and welcome everyone to the quarterly earnings call. I have alongside with me my colleague, Zarir Langrana, Executive Director, Nandakumar Tirumalai, CFO. I will start the discussion with a broad overview of the businesses and the geographies and the environment we are going through in. Firstly, let me just say the demand environment is as good as it can get, and it's constantly improving for the better. The demand is strong. In fact, there's been a broad change in the demand environment where I think the supply is extremely tight, and that is in fact reflected by some of our current customer orders which we are fulfilling. For the first time, we have started to book customer orders and shipments to China, which was never a possibility. China, we expect over a period of time, we will elaborate further on this, will be either balanced or will be a net importer going forward because of changes in that environment. Worldwide, there have been sharp price increases in spot prices, especially in soda ash, and they continued in that direction. We do believe that as contracts keep opening up, these prices would be reflected in our contracting environment. That's not the whole picture. There's been also a challenging environment on the input side, where input costs have increased sharply, especially on the energy side, where coal and gas costs have increased sharply. Also there have been supply chain bottlenecks in some markets, especially in U.S. and U.K., where there's been a shortage of drivers and shortage of ability to deliver to customers. With this backdrop, I just wanted to now dive into our specific performance. Given this environment where I think the market has been strong, the revenue grew by 16%, and we've been able to sort of contain the impact of the cost increases while not fully, and there are some challenges in two areas which I'll come to specifically later, contain mostly in most of the businesses and ensure that we are able to continue to deliver good performance. The soda ash business in India delivered good volume growth of 18%, and this is reflective of demand from end user industries. Besides the volume growth, we've also taken the market prices have improved. I think currently, if you compare it with April levels to where we are, I think we are about 6,900 rupees on the list price. Of course, as contracts open, some of this will get translated into input into our pricing also. There has been an impact on the input cost. Commodity prices, both domestic and globally, have seen a sharp run-up in coal, natural gas, and carbon. On the international business, TCNA has performed well. Their domestic volume has been flat. However, export volume, bulk of the growth has come from export volume, which was extremely muted last year. This is also reflective of a strong trend in Q1. It continues into Q2. The overall volume growth stood 29% versus previous year. We expect that we'll be completely fully sold out in all our businesses, and we are gonna make as many tons as possible to meet our customer requirement. In U.S., of course, the pricing on the export front, which is reset in markets quarterly, is getting reset. The domestic prices are mostly annual contracts, and that is reflective of almost a flat margin structure which exists there. In terms of U.K. business, this is where the bulk of the impact has been in the overall consolidated numbers. The soda ash volumes and all other product volumes more or less were constant. The key issue has been higher gas price and more importantly the carbon prices. The UK ETS scheme, the carbon prices surged from 25 to 30 pound range to almost 75 pounds by September 21. And this suppressed the margin in this business by almost 30 pounds per ton in soda ash business, which has led to a sharp compression in the margin. And however, we are also pleased to say by the same token that our carbon capture unit was commissioned during the quarter. This will help to play a good role in improving not only our product mix, also removing a part of the pressure in the carbon emission trading scheme because it does capture the carbon and reduce the intensity. In terms of Magadi, the business continued to deliver good results with the revenue higher by 54% on back of good volume. They did undertake restructuring. I must add that UK is in the midst of its own restructuring process in terms of addressing fixed costs further. In terms of other business, in terms of our silica, which is a new nascent business for us, the food grade silica remains stable. Now moving on to our salt business, the performance continued to be strong. Our volume in the current quarter was 3.2 lakh tons, registering growth of 8%. UK salt was fairly steady. The Baikal business in India and UK performed well. Here again, I think pricing environment is fairly strong and you would see that reflected going forward in the forthcoming quarters. But the current quarter has seen certain cost pressure which is transmitted through the margin compression especially in the Indian salt business. Our focus on STS and nutraceutical remains fairly clear that we have to get customer acceptance and reach full capacity and first deliver on making sure we are break even at EBIT levels. Moving on to Rallis, the quarter two was tough for them, especially in the area of the seed business. The rising input prices did lead to margin compression in the crop care, which is the agrochemical segment. Their CapEx also is moving on schedule and they have completed the formulation plant and they've also completed two more expansion or debottlenecking of two active ingredients was completed during the quarter and their multipurpose plant is pretty much on track to complete by H1 FY23. Rallis will continue to make progress on the stated objective of improving product mix and introducing new products to widen and distribution. Overall, I would like to state the following that the project in Mithapur also is being executed on schedule. Overall, I would say the look ahead for us is going to be driven mostly by what we can produce. In this context, we have annual shutdowns which are completed in the month of October in USA and Mithapur, and they are back on stream. So you would see some quantity fall in quarter three. In Rallis and Magadi, the annual shutdown is underway during this quarter. So all the units have taken the shutdown in the quarter three, and this will be reflected in volume. Our margin will take an uptick because of the improvement in price. We do expect by quarter four we'll be back on full volume, and the prices should reset to the level where margin improvements will be seen all across. And it will be fully reflective of the market condition, which is fairly strong, and also fully account for the input cost as we move forward. So overall, I just want to say that our core business is in a strong footing, and we would continue to invest in them. And our investment plan of 2,600 crore in TCL India and also investments in Rallis would continue. Our new initiatives are shaping well. And we are confident that they will continue to make a positive contribution going forward. And we are also on track to ensure that sustainability remains a cornerstone of our businesses. The carbon capture unit in UK is reflective of the direction. With these broad words, I will now hand over the Nandu to take us through the financial performance.
Yeah, thank you, Mukundan, and good morning, everyone. Let me just walk you through the performance for Q2 for Tata Chemicals. Before that, based upon the feedback from investors and analysts, we have added this time two more slides, one on ESG and one on the input cost which is affecting us for Q2. For the quarterly performance, our revenues for the group were 16% over previous year, mainly on account of the higher volumes led by soda ash across all geographies, notably India, US and Kenya. The EBITDA was at 501 crores, up 30%, EBITDA margin has moved up by 2% and PBT by 70%. Broadly, the profits were higher than previous year in India, US and Kenya, offset by lower profits in UK and Rallis. Now I'll move on to business-wise performance. Starting from PCL India business, the revenue has grown by 18% over previous year, mainly on account of higher volumes. The EBITDA margin has moved up by 7%. If you remember, last year Q2, we had all dividends coming in Q2 because we had the AGMs held after the COVID quarter. But this year we got all dividends from Rallis and Morocco in Q1. That is a skew in the other income compared to quarter on quarter. Apart from that, because of the higher input cost affecting our variable cost, our overall contribution margin has come down compared to last year's Q2. We also had a one-time write-back of 20 crores of old provisions on account of our fertilizer business. Now moving on to the US business, as Mukund mentioned earlier, the volumes have rebounded from previous years. The revenues have moved up by 22%. There are also cost pressures because of increasing cost of gas and freight. The EBITDA has doubled from $13 million to doubled for the current quarter. Consequently, because of the higher sales and operating leverage, the PBT has moved from a loss of 26 crores last year in Q2 to a profit this quarter. We are also able to reprice our debt in US from L plus 4% to L plus 1.6%, which will help us by around 50 crores of interest savings year on year going forward. Coming to UK, as Mukund mentioned, the revenues were up compared to last year's Q2. But however, because of the impact of the carbon pricing and other factors, the PBT was a loss of 69 crores compared to a 2 crores profit last year. Coming to Kenya, the revenues have also moved up by 54% on better volumes, and we had 11 crores one-time cost because of the restructuring of the people there. Rallis, the revenues have been more or less flat compared to last year's Q2, and the revenue growth has been there in crop care, offset by a drop in seeds business. The margins were impacted because of sharp increase in the input cost in the crop care business and a slight increase in fixed cost and the seed business not doing that well compared to last year's Q2. On overall console level, to summarize for the quarter, the revenues have moved up by 16%, EBITDA by 30% and PBT by 70%. For 6 months, YTD September numbers, console level, the revenue has gone up by 21%, EBITDA by 48% and PBT by 150%. Performance of our joint venture in Morocco has been very good. They have given us good performance in both Q1 and Q2, and we got good dividends from them this year. The net debt is small increase compared to last year's numbers, mainly because of the rupee impact and because of certain short-term borrowings taken in Singapore for their operations there. With that, I conclude my remarks and I move it back to Gavin for opening up the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. We would also request participants to limit your question to two at a time. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhijit Attila from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thank you so much. The first question is on the India margin front. So we've seen basic chemistry products margins, EBIT margins, coming down to below 25% this quarter compared to 30% in the June quarter, 1 quarter ago. So I understand this is largely driven by the input cost inflation, but if you could please comment on, do we start to see benefits from higher realization starting the December quarter? I believe we've taken a sequence of some 4 or 5 price increases since June this year. So do we start to see benefits of that, and will that help restore the margins back to the levels of 1Q? That was one. And a related question is just on the hedging strategy versus the gas cost and any other input costs. If you could please just apprise us on where we stand and how much we'll be able to withstand this inflation and input costs.
So firstly, Abhijit, I think what I want to say is that we have a mix of what we call as a hedging as well as purchasing and just inventory stocking approach to manage the risk. And it is fairly dynamic as we speak. So I think we will continue to maintain that. So we are fairly comfortable with our position as we speak. And we are also comfortable with the fact that if you look at UK, where bulk of the gas is bought out, and also in US, we have been in discussion with customers, and we have been able to sort of more or less work with customers in terms of passing on many of these increases back to customers. In UK, especially the carbon cost, we've been able to engage with them and make sure that they are aligned to the shift in the marketplace, and we are fully covered on that. So you would see this changing, I think, as far as the international business is concerned, from Q4, which is the Jan-March quarter. You will see this switch happening, and you will see it fully come in. Part of it will come in the quarter three, but not most of it. Similar would be in India. In India, the contracts are every quarter. Some customers are actually annual contracts, but that is a minor number. So you would see every quarter the reset happening in India. In India, actually, the margin compression has happened because of a couple of one-offs which were there during the quarter. There was some provisioning which we had to make because of certain past period issues of about 6 crore, which is an element. And secondly, I think in terms of, as I mentioned, there is also a pricing adjustment which we do with our customers, especially both on salt and soda ash. I would not put this entirely on soda ash, which I think will probably come through in the quarter three. So we do expect that quarter three, the margin structure would come back. But you have to balance that, as I said, with the shutdown which will happen during the quarter. So there would be volume dip both in India and UK, US, because both of them have taken the annual shutdown in October. But in terms of the margin price question, I think that would be back to normal levels. And in fact, by Q4, we expect them to be even better than where we are today.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Just, you know, on that front, just one additional clarification. If you could guide us to what kind, how many days of shutdown, and therefore what, you know, kind of impact on production we should expect to see in 3Q, that would be really helpful. And the other question I just had was with regard to the, you know, Tata Group's announcement regarding the electric vehicle plans. Tata Motors has recently made announcements. You know, in that context, if you would like to offer any comments regarding Tata Chemicals' plans on that front. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so in terms of shutdown, I think rather than go unit by unit, I would just say if you take a broad number of about a week, I think that should broadly cover it. In some units, it may extend up to 10, nothing more than that.
Yeah.
The second element was on the energy business. I think if there's anything substantial, we'll come back to you. That's where we are.
Thank you so much. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Resham Jain from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. So I have just a couple of questions. The first is on India business. In last 6 months, what is the net increase in the cost, and what is the net increase in the realization? You can just broadly give a sense on that.
Yeah, I can only give you a broad color. Let me give you, you know, rather than get into specifics, we had taken a price increase up to September end of about 4,000 rupees broadly, am I right? 3,000 rupees. And at the margin level in soda ash, this had led to a compression of margin by about 300 to 400 rupees broadly. That's what I would say per ton. And if you see currently where do we stand on pricing, we are 7,000 up from April. So by September end, we were about 3,000 up from April, and there was a margin compression of 300 rupees. And going forward, we are already at 7,000 rupees up from, which means another 4,000 has been taken. And in the quarter of September quarter, there was a compression by 300 rupees in terms of margin. That's where we are compared to Q1.
Okay, so net, that the total increase in cost is 7,000 rupees per ton. Is that right?
No. This is the price increase. I was saying broadly, the price increase is taken up to September at 4,000 rupees per ton.
Okay.
What we have taken in the up to this period, which is up to October when we are speaking, already 7,000 has been executed in the marketplace. So another 4,000 has happened in the month of October. And we had a margin compression in the quarter September of 300 rupees, 350 rupees per ton broadly.
Got it, sir. Thank you. And my second question is on Vitafor project, the new plant. Are there any changes in the timelines there?
So Sorry, which one?
Minta processor.
No, I think it's moving on schedule. Nothing much to report about. I think we have had that excellent discussions with some of our key vendors and those who were impacted due to the oxygen shortage and all during that period, second COVID wave, and they've all worked hard to get back on schedule. So I think we are keeping a very close watch on that, not just because it's a project we would normally want to deliver on schedule. Right now, the market demand is so strong that we need every ton we can get out of every phase of that expansion.
Okay. And so lastly, just one point from the industry perspective. Within India, are all the plants running, the soda ash plants running completely? You mentioned you had a small shutdown, but there is, other than those normal shutdowns, so no other major plants having impacted in any manner.
The plant maintenance shutdown, but only one issue that one of the unit is probably partly has been shut, but I think that's really the issue. Otherwise, I think all units are running flat out. But the demand is extremely strong. That's all I can say.
Okay, thank you very much, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. We would request participants to limit your question to two at a time. The next question is from the line of Suman Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So we have seen a significant price increase, say, India business and across globe also. And the kind of the demand supply scenario is, despite the lower demand and in container and flat glass, we are demand supply is favorable. So assuming this scenario and flat glass and container glass is going on the full swing, do you think whatever the price increase you have taken, because of better the demand supply scenario, the price, whenever the fuel price is going to correct, the overall the margin level and the realization level is going to improve for the company?
I don't want to make such a comment. All I'm saying is that we know where we are in terms of demand. Certainly, the market is. If you look at the forward or future price in China, it is already running in the region of $350 to $400, and so it's really at a very, very high level. I think pricing would continue to be strong. The issue is in terms of cost. When the cost will come down, I cannot say, but certainly the cost environment is also challenging. And I think what we should budget is that in terms of Q4, we should see that the suppliers are able to sort of have a better position than what they had in the past.
Can you talk about what are the key steps, initiatives we have taken for UK business, and we have seen a lot of margin pressure in this in the UK business. So from here, what we should assume, and what from the margin side?
So as I mentioned, I think the carbon cost is about £30 a ton approximately. I think we have gone back to customers and have engaged strongly with them to say this is something which is completely out of everybody's control, because the carbon price is a traded product there, and you have to buy from the market, and we have engaged with customers, and most of them are fairly understanding of the situation we are in, and we do expect that most of them would accept those changes in pricing due to having carbon as passed through.
So, but what are the key business initiatives we have taken to have the alternate fuel for the UK business?
In terms of business initiative, one is, as I mentioned, carbon capture unit is now already commissioned. About 40,000 tons of CO2 is internally made, so we won't be making external purchases anymore. And as you know, UK also had a very, very severe shortage of carbon dioxide, which actually impacted many of the food manufacturers. We will not be impacted in future because we have our own internal carbon capture unit, which has come in very handy. Secondly, it also allows us to avoid the expenditure of buying CO2 in the marketplace by about 40,000 tons. And of course, they are going through their fixed cost erosion program, which is underway already.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anshuman Atri from Premji Invest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good morning. My question is on the EV front.
How will we addressing the technology aspect? Whether will it be in-house, we'll do JVs, and when can we expect major plans on the EV front, given that Tata Motors has highlighted in every call or slides about Tata Chemical being one of their partners?
I think there's nothing specific to report. I think if we have, we will come and report. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are the plans here in terms of, like, do we have the technology know-how, or, like, how are we going to approach the business?
Specific. I think we will clarify as and when we need something substantive happens.
Okay. And on the soda ash, the contracts which we have quarterly, annual, so by next quarter, Q3 and Q4, will we be passing on all the increases, or it will take some more time?
No, I think you should dealing the two. We are not into, you know, cost side, we will manage ourselves. The pricing side is we will also ensure that the pricing side, we are pricing the product depending on the market conditions. So, clearly, as I said, the cost side, we will continue to manage our input costs, but the market conditions are fairly strong in terms of the output and selling. So I think I would like to sort of say that, in this sort of condition, our effort will be to maximize whatever we can do to ensure that the pricing remains appropriate, and the pricing remains fully justified on the basis of demand-supply situation, and we will manage the input costs. I don't want to link the two. All I can say is that we will, as we go forward, more or less fully cover the cost improve, but I think I don't want to say how much additional we'll get, but certainly we don't want to link the two.
Okay. And so, I mean, on the soda ash side, there were reports of a potential U.S. business sale. So are we fully committed into the soda ash business, or we are looking at new chemistry?
I think these are all very speculative news. I think we, and we have already said that we will not comment on any speculative news when this came out in the media. So I think that is where we are.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We would request participants to please limit your question to two at a time, as there are several others waiting for their turn as well. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Gupta from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just on the supply side of things, we did see some supply outages, at least what was there in the media in last 1.5 months, from these China dual controls, et cetera. So if you could confirm or could you give us a sense that how much of capacity has gone away, and, you know, what is the current status, given that some part of those, you know, some part of that we get relaxed on gradually, given the tightness in various commodities. So if you could just comment on the China demand situation as well as supply situation, if you could. And secondly, on the U.S. side, the exports have risen. I mean, could you just also give us a sense in terms of how much of the demand is lithium driven, and, you know, what contribution of demand comes from lithium side of things?
I think,
That's all.
Sector is growing pretty close to double digit and will continue to be supplied. I think at the low end, it probably is at about 7.5%. At the high end, it probably is, you know, around 10% or 11% growth, which we will continue to see spread over many years. As far as our assessment of FY 2022 is concerned, the world is short by about 2 million tons broadly today. So that's where we are. So I don't want to get into specific shutdown or opening, but if the demand environment continues where it is, at the low point, it probably short by about 2 million tons.
But it includes any significant supply coming in apart from whatever debottlenecking and, you know, small marginal expansions here and there. Barring India, you don't see any new kind of greenfields getting announced as well across the globe?
Yeah, so I think the way to think about this is, even if a greenfield gets announced, and let's say 1 million ton is announced, it's going to take 36 months to come. And with the current growth rate we are seeing in the market, the world will need at least, you know, somewhere around 1.5 million tons, you know, at the low end, 1 million ton, at the high end, about 2.5 million ton every year, additional quantity. So I think this tightness is there, and I think that's a fact.
Sure. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gopal Agarwal from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Just wanted to understand the cost increase in prices. So if we look at in the quarterly results, we have seen like fuel prices are increased by roughly 90 crores, while the top line is increased by 50 crores. So I just wanted to understand, you know, how much of the quantity is contracted. And as you said, since September, we have taken 3,000 rupees price increase, while cost pressure is only 300 to 400 rupees per ton. So can you be specific to highlight, you know, how much is the contracted and will it, you know, recover back as the time passes? So just wanted to understand more clarity on this.
Yeah, so I think calculation purpose, I think I would say in India it's about 15% to 20% would be annual contract. Rest of them are all quarterly reset.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thanks a lot for taking my question. Sir, just a bit confused about the pricing and the cost pressures that we have seen. So while cost price increased a lot in H1, but costs also seem to have caught up. So is price increase majorly taken place as a part of pass-through, or going forward, do we see them independent of each other's because price being majorly determined by demand and supply of the end product rather than the raw material price of manufacturing the same?
Yeah. So I think in terms of broadly, I would say that the cost increase would be close to as we exited September, we had close to about 1500 rupees per ton cost increase broadly, and the effective price change once you factor that in and effective realization when you factor that in, it ended up with 300 rupees of drop in contribution per ton. So really, if you say your entire price increase of by the time the September quarter price increases were affected, they were towards the end of the quarter, so we didn't fully come in. And we do expect that going into the December quarter, that this increase in impact would be almost of the same order again, because the coal prices have been steadily increasing every month. So I think if you ask, is there any correlation between our cost increase and market price? I think price is driven by demand and supply. Cost increase is driven majorly by the increase in coal cost as energy cost, and fundamentally that's the biggest driver in the whole equation.
Understood. So there might be a situation where these two get somewhat independent of each other and where the pricing moment sustains.
Independent. They look to be running together in quarter two, but I think they should run independently going forward.
Understood. Thank you, and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you very much. First thought is, if you are looking at the price increase for the third quarter, is it going to be margin neutral based on the current trend in your operating costs?
Yeah, I think we should. As we speak today, it should probably trend back to the normal margin. But all I would say, they are not correlated. Please don't correlate them.
Yeah. So the second thought is, can you give us a sense in terms of what is the current capacity utilization in the global industry ex China, and what is the kind of capacity utilization number you have from China, because China seems to have calibrated their local production in the last few months. Can you throw some light on that?
See, the global utilization is running at very tight levels. We are running at almost 94, 95. So we in fact are finding it tough even to take an annual shutdown because of the demand. So I think the utilization levels are extremely high, and we've been postponing that, but I think we took an inevitable call that when prices reset in quarter four, we should be fully in line to produce, which is why we pushed it as far as possible to quarter three, So I think that's really where we are. In terms of China, I think China should be importing, I think, close to at least 500,000 tons, 500,000 tons approximately. From being an exporter, they turned net importers now.
Okay. So this, you talk about is 94% capacity utilization. What is the base of operable capacity you have? Because the number I have seen in consultant reports of the order of 73 million tons of capacity. So is that figure close to what is operable today?
Of the plants which can run, there are these when these nameplate capacities come, there are also many mothballed plants and all, they get added up. But of the plants which can run, I think we are at about 94-95. And 94-95 means that you've got a very little headroom to take your annual shutdown.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. I will come back on.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahavla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning and thank you for taking my question. My question is also on capacity utilization only, and I just wanted a clarification. The 94-95% is what we are saying is our current capacity utilization in the soda ash business, just re-clarifying it.
Yeah, it must be exactly this. We will also be at the same level. I mean, if you account for our shutdown.
Okay, understood. And there is no capacity expansion that we are looking in this segment that can be expected, say, in H2, apart from the annual shutdown, whatever debottlenecking that
No, we are expanding. We are at, in H2, nothing will come on stream. H2, maybe some minor additional volumes may come, but I think it's not going to be substantial.
Okay, understood. And just one additional clarification, specialty products, the reason the margins have dipped is because of Rallis in specialty products. The margins have dipped.
Driven by Rallis. I think we had a shortfall of, if you just look at previous year performance and the current year, pretty low reduction in seeds profits. The last year, the seeds in quarter two made 20 crore EBITDA, and this year it's made a 20 crore loss. So I think that has led to 30 crore swing between previous year and the current year. And that's really the main reflection of what's happened. So, and we are addressing that the issues in the seed business there.
Okay. Thank you. All my other questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Modi from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
So, my question is on the UK unit. You mentioned that you have put up this carbon capture unit. Can you tell what is the free allowance that you are getting today over there?
What is the, Chetan?
Free allowance of carbon credits out of the total capacity.
So you
want to
explain?
Yeah. So Chintan, if you look at how the UK carbon works, is that roughly we emit about 5.5 lakh tons of carbon every year, and we get about 3 lakh tons as free allowances there. So we have around 2.5 lakh tons of exposure to carbon, out of which roughly half is a pass through because we also sell power to the grid in UK, and power pricing includes the cost of carbon. Therefore, around 1 lakh tons is roughly the exposure we have every year on account of carbon. This is after netting off the benefit of the CCU. So 5.5 lakh tons is the emission. 50,000 tons is the carbon capture unit. 5 lakh is the balance. 3 is the free allowance. So 2 is the exposure. In that two, half is pass-through and half is exposure to us. And that's what now we begin hedging this month onwards.
Okay, got it. And this, the carbon that you capture basically, you utilize it for your internal purpose or you sell it into the market?
We use it internally, and if there are periods where we have certain surplus, we will certainly sell in the market. But it is for making sodium bicarbonate, which is a very high-value product for us.
Okay, sure. And should we expect that from the following quarters we can see a bit positive of the initiatives that we have taken in the UK unit?
Yeah, the sharp fall which you saw this quarter may not get repeated next quarter because I think we've started to hedge. I think that will certainly play. The carbon capture unit certainly reduces our cost because we are no longer buying CO2 from the market. But the real issue, the real driver of the bottom line this quarter has been the fact that the open exposure which we had in quarter one when Brexit happened, then calendar quarter one, okay, which is the previous of quarter four, that became an open exposure. And also the exposure of quarter one of the fiscal year, quarter two of the fiscal year. So broadly 3 quarters were completely open, and when the price spiked from 25 to 75, the prior period adjustment itself was almost 30 crores broadly, and the current year exposure to carbon at 75 pounds was about 30-35 crores. So it's equally split between prior period adjustment from 25 to 75 as well as the current period. So broadly 60 crore has been the hit on the bottom line in UK despite all their best efforts.
Okay, sure. And just one last question. Sir, since you are the parent company of Rallis, if you look at the seeds business of Rallis, last two quarters we have seen an influx of illegal products. Now, my question is that considering the efforts that we put in terms of R&D and everything as an organized player, and there is a very easily some illegal products come into the market, and there is an acceptance by the farmers also. So just wanted to understand, like, any strategic decisions that we are taking with respect to seeds business, because it seems like it's a difficult business to be in.
So I think, I think the good point. I think we are working very hard to look at our portfolio fully, and we are also making sure that we can at least make sure that we are in the products which are difficult to come under pressure from illegal products. So you will see some change in the approach we have in that business. You are absolutely right that this shift in the marketplace has hit us very hard this year, and we have learned a lot out of that, and we are going back to the drawing board, and which is why I said we will make sure that business is brought back to at least a steady keel and not get into the kind of situation which we found ourselves, move from 10 crore profit into 20 crore loss.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Modi to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Dhavan Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So most of my questions have been answered. I have one question on the US and UK pricing revision. So I think 80% of our contracts from these two geographies are on annual basis, and the revision would happen from the next calendar year. So considering the input price inflation, and if there will be any, crude price hike from the next year or maybe in the coming period, so to immune from that, cost price inflation, how much pricing revision are we expecting for these two geographies from the next calendar year? If you can share in terms of maybe relative terms or the absolute terms.
Broadly, I think we are more or less going to be covered on the input side. That's not going to be an issue next year. I think we've been working with customers that even for quarter three, we need some support, especially in UK, because of the carbon issue. Most of the customers are understanding of the situation which the carbon market has created. So there may be few who are still in discussion, but we expect to close it with them, because I think this is an unprecedented situation which UK has found itself, and we are in discussion. Even though there are annual contracts, we have gone to them to say, while we have annual contract, we need to have a discussion because of unprecedented situation. I think that's where we are. Next year, we should be more or less covered.
And can we expect some more positive delta, because the market would be more in terms of the demand favorable, so because China is also importing for the first time, so can we see some more positive delta in terms of the realization growth for these two geographies going ahead?
Allow us in the month of Jan to come back to you, because we would have concluded all the contracts by then. At least we would be, and we are also reworking some of the contracts to include carbon surcharge, as energy surcharge, all put in place, which was a learning we've had. Unfortunately, up till now, this spike in carbon had not happened, and it's an event which I think caught us on the wrong foot. We've corrected that, and in Jan, we'll clarify to you exactly where we've landed with customers. But the discussions are all in very positive territory.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Shah to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, dhanyavaad, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, if I could recall, articulating what you said, from April 21 to October on event date, we have taken a price hike of 7,000 rupees per ton, sir?
Yeah, 6,900 to be accurate.
6,900 to be accurate. And up to September, the hike was rupees 3,000. And 4,000 is the steepest hike, if I may use the word, for the month of October.
That's correct.
Okay. And for the inflationary part, sir, it is 400 rupees per ton. That is the total inflation cost, or how should that be aligned for the 7 months? Taking into account the coal and the salt prices?
No, no, I think for the 6 month period, while we have taken 3,000, the net flow into our account, because it was taken at different period of time, what we could reflect was in the quarter three, an improvement in the pricing of about 1,500. But that 1,500 resulted in a shortfall of about 300, which means our margin compressed by 300 rupees per ton.
Come again, sir. I just missed the last part.
I said that if you take the full quarter period and you average all the, because increases happened at different period of time, the September quarter, the improvement in pricing was 1,500 in net realization, net of all the other, transport, everything put together. But however, that did not cover the full cost increase. We were short by about 300 rupees per ton.
Okay, and this hike in the month of October would be far higher than what the inflation. It is more about the demand led, or will it have its inflation component with it? The hike which you took for October.
It is more supply demand led because we don't want to say that our price movements are just led by the cost. Cost is only one element, but also demand supply is another.
So this is more of a bottom line contribution, this hike will be, the October month hike.
The costs are also moving up in parallel, so I would not say entirely everything will come, and also all of them will happen at different periods of time, because each customer has a different reset during the quarter. So I think all we have indicated is that demand environment is positive, the cost environment is a challenge, and we are managing both together. And quarter three, there are also all our units have gone through shutdown because we could not take them earlier in previous period because of very strong market condition. And we want to enter the new contract period with full capacity available for us to serve the customers.
Thank you. Request Mr. Kapoor to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from MC Global. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So the first question is in terms of the demand situation. So if you could just elaborate in terms of individual geographies, what are the driving factors because of which the demand has suddenly gone up? Supplies, you have anyway mentioned that there have been issues, but which and all are the demand-led factors across different geographies? Thank you.
So if you look at the demand side, essentially, let me start with China. I think there's been a very strong bounce back in demand in China, topped up by increased demand from certain new segments, primarily solar glass. And I think that's been driving demand in China. Southeast Asia demand is back, and it's in the traditional segments of flat glass and detergents. Container glass in Southeast Asia is still a little subdued because of the tourism industry not fully coming back. We believe there could be headroom for demand growth there once some of those typically conventional tourist economies open up. In North America, we've seen strong housing starts. Consumer demand is back. Flat glass demand is back totally. In India, of course, all of the sectors are running at full capacity, flat. Container detergent saw a little bit of a dip for about a month or two, which it sees every year in terms of monsoons, but that is back again. And of course in Europe, all of the flat glass demand and container glass demand, some of which had been shuttered during the first and the second wave, have all reopened again. So we are seeing demand back to a little higher actually than pre-COVID levels, and moving into 2022, we'll probably see demand growth globally at a slightly elevated level compared to what we've seen traditionally in terms of CAGR.
Right, that's very helpful, sir. Thank you. So the second question is, we generally see some of the other restructuring costs in some of the geographies coming in a particular quarter. Any more such one-time cost which may arise for any of the geographies in future quarters, or we are more or less taken care of for most of the restructuring costs? Thank you.
I think restructuring in Kenya is done. I think as far as U.K. is concerned, I think they are managing it, and they will take the appropriate action, but we don't expect a big, heavy one-time cost structure.
Sure. Thank you so much, and best of luck, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. You know, just to clarify, so I think what we are saying is that in Q2, the average increase in realization blended, although we took a 3,000 rupee price hike, the blended higher realization is about 1,500 rupees, and the cost has gone up by about 1,800 rupees a ton. So therefore, effectively, there is a 300 rupee shortfall. Now, we've taken an increment to the 4,000 rupee hike. So effectively, the net is a 7,000 rupee hike, but the impact of the 4,000 will be even slightly higher because only 1,500 of that is reflected in Q2. So just wanted to understand, in terms of Q3, what is the expected hike expected over Q2 on a blended average basis, and how much is the inflation expected on a per ton basis?
Yeah. So I think as Mukund mentioned earlier, this is really a blended number that we are working on in the marketplace, driven both by supply-demand balances and by inflationary pressures that we are seeing. And as we move into the next quarter and more so in Q4, which is calendar year Q1, you'll see all of this kind of flowing through.
So I would say that demand is, effectively speaking, driven by the demand supply in soda ash, which is extremely tight given high demand and a low supply, and your cost is driven by the near-term implications around commodities, around coal, etc., which we expect to normalize. So I understand that while pricing will actually remain the same, potentially increase, hopefully in Q4, as the commodities ease off, we'd expect a reasonable amount of enhancement in profitability. But just wanted to understand, in terms of Q3, where do we expect to be in terms of EBITDA per ton compared to, let's say, Q2?
I won't make a specific comment. All I would say is that I think we would not want to link the improved changes in the market price to cost increase alone. It is a demand-supply situation.
Yeah, we get that.
That's where it is. And if you want to see a steady number flow through, where will we settle down? I think Q4 will be the right quarter to check that piece because there are moving parts in Q3, but Q4, it should settle down more or less.
The other question was that we understand that, I mean, on the demand-supply side on soda ash, supply is obviously constrained given the lead time to putting up incremental capacity. Just wanted to understand, is that what is leading to the increase in demand, and is that just the bounce back from COVID where people had lower inventory levels, or is this something that is structural in terms of the demand?
No, I think it's a mix of both. What you probably saw in the earlier half of the year was customers restocking and bouncing back. But as I mentioned earlier, there are also structural changes happening in the marketplace. We are seeing new centers of demand, new application centers of demand opening up for lithium and lithium carbonate, for solar glass. And of course, there is the normal growth in demand that we are seeing across flat, float, and container glass. So it's a mix of both. As I mentioned, 2022 demand globally is likely to be much higher than what we've seen traditionally. It should then ease back into its normal growth levels of maybe 2.5%-3% per annum CAGR globally, with, of course, regional variations. Got it. That should continue into the foreseeable future for sure.
Got it.
While and my side catches up.
Got it. And on the, so I mean, just sort of interpreting what you're seeing for Q4 onwards and then next year onwards, assuming commodity prices effectively speaking normalized, because anyways, like aggregate coal demand has been reasonably flattish, you'd expect, I mean, numbers which are materially higher effectively than where we historically ever been.
I think you should wait for Q4, I would certainly say, because I think we know that coal is now more or less stable at elevated levels. It has not come down. And natural gas, again, for example, in UK, is holding at elevated level. It has not come down. In US, again, it is holding at elevated level. So I think we have to wait for market signs to say when it will actually taper down, which is why I think I'm a bit reluctant to sort of give you some point about next year. But Q4 will be a clear indicator of where we are landing.
Thank you. We'll take one last question, which is from the line of Abhijit Akela from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the follow-up, sir. Just a couple of clarifications regarding a couple of data points mentioned previously. One is the carbon capture unit in the UK. This 40,000 tons of CO2 that we save, should we just interpret that to mean that, you know, we basically multiply 40,000 tons into 75 pounds per ton, and that is the quantum of savings that we should expect to realize out of this?
That could be one method. I think the way Nandu has explained, I think, is the right approach, which is to say that our overall number, net of that carbon capture, is about we and the free allowance put together, 3 lakh free allowance, we have a net number of 2 lakh tons of carbon which we have to buy in the market, of which I think 1 lakh ton is a pass-through and 1 lakh is the net amount for which we need to hedge and we need to buy in the market.
Understood. And the other one was on the USA interest cost renegotiation. So if I heard you correctly, it's going to lead to a saving in finance cost of about 50 crores a year. Is that the right number?
Yes, on this loan, yes, Abhijit. It was a $275 million loan and L plus 4 was the earlier pricing, now it's L plus 1.6%. So 2.5% savings per annum on $275 million is around 50 crores per year.
And that will begin from the December quarter, is it? Or?
Yeah, from December quarter onwards, because this got done in end of Q2, so that will start flowing to us from Q3 onwards.
Perfect. Great. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you, Abhijit.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, and I think let me start by saying that we have been through very interesting times in the last quarter. These kind of market development, both on the demand and the supply side, were certainly fairly unprecedented. But the team has responded well with agility to serve the customers, and they've engaged well with customers to explain the situation. And we do expect that, I think, in terms of the short term, we will be able to continue to deliver to the best expectation of all shareholders. In the long term, our story still remains the same. Our growth expansion in Mithapur continues on stream, and both in soda ash and in salt, I think the market demand, market opportunity is fairly strong. Our approach to making sure that we get our two new businesses at least to EBITDA positive, I think is still our first step, and we are well on our way. And in Rallis, we have an additional task now of fixing the seed business, which we will continue to focus on and deliver. In terms of overall, I think the teams are enthused with the positive turn of event and with the slight reduction in the waning of COVID. I think our teams are fully energized to deliver in the marketplace. I would like to end this call by wishing all of you a very happy Diwali and see you all in the month of Jan when we will come with a fresh update on where we stand. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Tata Chemicals, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.